There's a story that goes like this. Once there was a poor man, his name was Edmund, and he lived in Krakow. And he lived in poverty for many years, and not knowing where his next meal would come from. And still, Ed had implicit faith in God, you know, that God would take care of him. So one night, he had a dream. He had a dream that there was a highly valuable buried treasure under some bridge in Prague. Now, he lived in Krakow. He has a dream that there's something next to a bridge in Prague. So at first he ignores the dream, thinking, you know, this is a crazy idea. What a foolish dream I had. But after that, he continues to have the dream. It keeps repeating itself night after night. And so he begins to reconsider. Maybe this isn't a crazy dream. So then maybe it could be true. So he sets off for Prague to find the bridge that might have this treasure. So after a long, entire journey in Prague, he gets to Prague, and when he finally arrives, he notices the bridge. And the area was exactly like in his dream. So day after day, he returns to the bridge, trying to find out where this treasure is. Then one day, a gentleman comes to him and asks him, what's he doing on the bridge? And Ed knew the guy wouldn't believe this half-hearted story about a dream that he had about the bridge. So he just said, I just had this little dream and I came to see it. And the guy listened, you know, and threw back his head and he laughed because he said, you know, the strangest thing is I've had a number of dreams about this bridge and that there would be a man there who had a buried treasure under his stove back at home. So then, really? So at that moment then, Ed must think, that must be my instruction. So he bought a ticket, went back to Krakow, moved his stove and removed the floorboards and find that there was actually a treasure there. And what I like about the story is, it's really one of my favorite stories, is because it reminds me that oftentimes gifts are with us all along, but the knowledge of it is somewhere else. So he had the gift here in Krakow all along, but he had to go to Prague to find that out. Many times we do not even know the treasures that are right in our midst. They seem to be hidden from us. And it takes going somewhere else or having someone else remind us of what is with us all along, but we just didn't realize it. Today we celebrate the baptism of the Lord, and it becomes an important time to look at the gift of our own baptism. I'm assuming that everybody in here is baptized. Most of us don't remember our baptism because we were just babies. But regardless of the age, we believe that something happened on that day that made a difference for all of us. It wasn't just an empty ritual, something nice to do to gather families together once a child is born. For example, it was on that day that the sacramental life that we live as Catholics began for us. Baptism is called the gateway sacrament. No other sacrament is to be received until first one is baptized. You can't go to communion, you can't go to confession, you can't do anything until you've been first baptized. These sacraments are reserved for the baptized. Once one is baptized, the sacramental life of grace is now opened in a special way as Jesus promised. This is the life of grace is with us all along. Sometimes as though it's like this buried treasure where we have no idea it's there. Just like in the story from the man from Krakow. It usually takes some kind of experience or some person in our lives to open up this reality finally to us so that we see what it means to have this gift of being the baptized. And the life of grace that's been offered us because of that baptism. Now, if you've been to a baptism recently, you know that there are a number of symbols that make up the sacrament. The primary one is the pouring of water on the forehead, or at least touching the forehead, with the words, "I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." These words and actions are what make that sacrament happen, but there are other symbols that surround this kind of important part to help explain the meaning of what happens at a baptism. These are called explanatory rites because they sort of help us understand the richness of a baptism. For example, at the beginning of the baptism, we ask the child's name. Of course, I already know the kid's name. I've already met with the parents. I've already filled out the baptismal certificate. It's not like I don't know the name. But once the rite starts, I ask the person's name, the child. And that's because that's the name God will use to call him or her. Because we are called by name. And so I ask, what is his name? What is her name? That's part of the rite. And then forever, from there until eternity, God knows them by the name we gave. Then we trace a sign of the cross on the forehead of the little baby, and we ask the parents and godparents to make that sign of the cross. That is the most precious gift we have to give and to offer. Can you imagine? We say, we're going to give you a baptism, and what we have to offer you is the cross of Christ. That's our big gift to the people who want to become Catholic, is the crucifixion. That we believe in the cross, that if we died with Christ, we will also rise with him. And then during the rite, we put some oil on the chest for exorcism of evil. And then after the baptism, we place oil on the head, on the crown of the head of the child, because he's been anointed now, priest, prophet, and king. And we bless the ears and we bless the lips so that this little child may one day hear God's words. Take them in, and then bless the lips so that then we will speak the praises of God. Then, my most favorite of all symbols is that then, I usually ask the Godfather. I said, give him a candle. And then we get them the baptismal candle, and we say, go light this baptismal candle and stand next to the child. We say, this child now has been enlightened by Christ. And this child to always walk as a child of the light in what can be a dark and confusing world at times. You know, how are we supposed to navigate our way through this life? Well, for the baptized, we hold out the light of faith in Christ. And that tells us how to move around in this world. Lest we trip over things and make mistakes, the light of Christ helps us see the way God calls us to see. In what I always say can be a dark and confusing world for many of us. So whether it's the water that washes or the blessings that sanctify or all these other symbols that describe the meaning of such a deep and complex sacrament, it carries with it, though, because they're all symbols, but the most important thing I think for all of us is that it carries with it a promise that God made with us on that day, that God made with you on that day. That as a child of the light, and as you walk always as a child of the light, you're given the grace to begin living the life that you will be given in heaven today, right now. That Jesus promised us that we would be given all that we need to be the holy people he knows that we can't be and that we should be. And this is the great gift that's oftentimes carried with us, buried deep down without our even acknowledging it or seeing the significance of it. Without knowing the life that God has offered us in this world and then in the next. Without knowing what it means to belong to God now as his children. We belong to him who now are open to the fullness of grace that he has to offer us. Coming to realize that often takes other people or maybe someone who loves us, believes in us, and even cares for us, that we begin to see the dignity that we have because of God's gift to us. We say at baptism, you know, that our souls are marked, or they are sealed, as we say, or marked that we belong to God now. We believe that that mark that's on our soul once we've been baptized can never be erased. We can reject it. We can no longer pay attention to it. We can ignore it as if it wasn't there. But we only baptize once. We're never rebaptized again. Never do it again, because that soul is changed now and it has the seal that it belongs to Christ. And once that seal is there, there never needs to make another seal, because the soul has been branded as belonging to God. And I have to say that I love that image as well, because I can turn my back on God, but I can't remove that seal. I remember a faithful person, a very faith-filled person, telling me that next to all of her diplomas on the wall, she framed her baptismal certificate, because she believed that that was the real day that changed her life forever. Today, as we celebrate the baptism of the Lord, when he's humbly submitted to be baptized, to make holy the waters of baptism for all of us, an event hopefully everyone in here has experienced with Christ. Because we are baptized, and we're all to live now the holy life that God has offered us. This life that will hopefully continue right into eternity. That's the promise he made with us at that baptism. May it be something that we realize has been with us all this time, even if we didn't even know it.